All right. Hello, everybody. Yes, thank you, Christoph. Hello, everybody. My name is Josse, and I will be talking today about generating programmable MPUs with Linalg. From Linalg with MLIR and Circuit. I only have 20 minutes, so I can't show you everything, but I'll do my best. So I'm Josse. I'm currently a PhD researcher at KU Leuven in the MICAS research group, and I've been working on compilers for AI hardware accelerators since 2021. Fun fact, I'm also looking for a job at the end of this year. So if you know anybody who has work, then send them to me. So let's briefly go over the agenda for this talk. So what will you learn in this talk? What are NPUs? How do people design NPUs right now, or as far as I'm aware of how people design NPUs right now, and how people should design NPUs in the future, according to me, with my very opinionated opinion. And spoiler, it's going to be with compilers. So NPUs are processors that optimize dense linear algebra. If you're not quite sure what dense linear algebra is, it's usually a bunch of for loops with some arithmetic on a bunch of data. So in this case, for example, this is a C code for an element-wise multiplication. It's quite simple. There's multiplication and there's the for loop. There's other kernels as well, so a matrix multiplication, there's the for loops, and there's a accumulate and a multiplication. And recently, there's also this softmax layer that's super popular, for example, in large language models. So there's a lot of other different operations that are happening here. I think what is quite important for you to know at this stage of the talk is that in MLIR, we typically represent this in the lin-alg dialect, and so you'll see that at a much higher level of abstraction, you will be representing kind of the same thing. So the for loops are represented as affine maps, and then the operations themselves are actually represented in the various dialects that MLIR has. So for example, floating point multiplication in this case, for this example. Now, so what is an MPU? There's many examples of MPUs, so you can see the Google Tensor Processing Unit V4, the Apple M1, and all the M series processors after supposedly also have this neural engine. Basically, if you're buying a laptop today or a phone or whatever, chances are that you're having one of these NPUs. And so you might be wondering, are they useful? So according to research, I'm mainly doing research, our stance on this is yes, of course. There's this graph on the left that shows you that a lot of things that we have been trying to do are currently not possible anymore. So we cannot scale up the frequency anymore. Scaling up the single thread performance is also difficult. Scaling up power is difficult, and a number of logical cores is also difficult. But we can keep having more transistors, so there's more area for specialization, essentially. And then on the right side, there's this plot that shows you the performance per watt increase when they compared in 2017 the TPU V1 versus various configurations of CPUs and GPUs. And you can see that for this example specifically, they get a 200x increase. You should know that this is for an not implemented example, it's still research. But in reality, are they really useful? Yes, but according to me, it's mostly for marketing, because in reality, it's quite difficult to use them. These units, they can be too specific for newer workloads. So maybe they were designed 2 years ago, and 2 years ago there were neural nets or there were AI workloads, but people have moved on, there's new AI workloads, and they just don't work on these old accelerators anymore. Also, most compilers cannot leverage them directly. So if you send the C code into Clang and you expect it to work on your Apple Neural Engine, well, probably it will never end up there. And also, the hardware, firmware, and libraries are often closed source. So tough luck working on these things. So in principle, there's multiple interdependent problems. There are new algorithms for which we fail to quickly create new hardware. There are new, for the new hardware that we create, it takes too long to ship compiler support. And for people to actually use our devices, there's this closed sourceness. People make these new things, they're like, oh, this works really good, and then they won't share it with you. So this is kind of annoying. And so maybe before we think about any solution, it's useful to think about how we ended up with this problematic situation. So how do people typically create NPUs? In the beginning, there's this time where people look at the different algorithms and they start thinking like, oh, it would be cool if we can offload this specific part of an algorithm to an accelerator. Then let's say 2 months later, they start working on the hardware design. Then 6 months later, they're far enough in the hardware design so they can come up with some kind of ISA specification. And then 6 months later, after it's properly settled, then library and compiler development can start. And then 1 full year later, maybe if you're lucky, you can start shipping it to your customers. But I should note that these are very optimistic estimates, and it still takes you 2+ years to go through this full cycle. And by the time, like I just said, if someone has come up with a new algorithm, then all of the work is for nothing because we're starting from scratch again. So this is way too slow. The question is, can we do this faster? And the answer, in my opinion, is yes. With compilers, we can do this thing which I want to call programmable hardware synthesis. But how? Well, we have all of these really cool compiler technologies that we can leverage to do this. So how do we quickly create a machine learning compiler? Well, we have MLIR for that. How do we quickly generate hardware? Well, we can use the Circuit Project, which is a counterpart of MLIR that specifically focuses on hardware design. How do we adapt the compiler to the hardware? Well, if we dynamically register new backends to the created hardware. And how do we quickly develop this? Well, that is by using a few secret shortcuts, which I will share with you later. And of course, everything's happening fully open source, which is cool, so everybody can hack on this. Now, what are we trying to create? So I think it's useful if we go over the initial or the typical anatomy of an NPU platform. Typically, what you have is a bunch of memory at the top. Connected to the memory is a CPU. Usually, you use the CPU to also control your NPU, so the NPU is never really alone. And then to take in, then there's these processing elements. Usually you use a bunch of them so you can fully exploit the parallelism of your workload. And then to get data into the processing elements, you take a lot of load units, or you take a load unit that loads in a lot of data. And then there's also typically a store unit that stores back the data once the processing elements are done with this. And how do we quickly create on this? Well, what I'm proposing is this programmable hardware synthesis flow in which we technically just create one giant loop to do the full design of everything. So we start off with the supported operations, so the things that we want to make an accelerator for, the things that we think are interesting to accelerate. Still an open question to choose which operations are actually useful, but I hope by making this quicker that we can find out what it is sooner. Then out of these supported operations, we generate this PE array, or the processing element array. And then we stick it together with the load unit, the store unit, and the CPU. And then we can actually create a simulation of the platform. And then we have this machine learning compiler, which also ingests the backend information, which we also get from the supported operations in MLIR. And then we use that to create a binary, which we can run in the simulation on this platform. Would this solve all of the issues that we have? Well, new algorithms, we can just create new PEs, or at least at the design stage, we can play around with new multiple PEs, so that's not really an issue. For new hardware, there's also another issue for the compiler support, because it's also happening in the loop, and everything is open source, so everybody can just play around with it, which is a lot of fun. And what I want this to work in is in 2 minutes, as opposed to 2 years and 2 months, so we'll see if we'll get there. I'm still working on it. And because I can obviously not share everything with you today, today we'll focus a bit more on this concept of PE array conversion. So to remind you, those are these processing element parts of the NPUs. And so what we are going to do, so in more detail, we have a look of these supported operations, which we typically express in Linel generics. So you have Linel generic A and Linel generic B. Then you convert each of these Linel generics into actual processing elements in a dialect of MLIR that I created myself. Then there is a way to aggregate these PEs into a PE that supports multiple of these operations. And then you just multiply them in a way that fits your parallelism. And then you end up with an NPU that supports Linel generic A and Linel generic B. And if the source file that you use, so if the software workload that you want to run on your hardware contains the same supported operations as your supported operations that you use to generate your hardware, well, then it's guaranteed to work on this MPU. So let's go over some examples. So the simple example number one, the task is to create a four-way parallel processing element array that supports element-wise operations, namely addition, subtraction, multiplication, and bitwise exclusive OR. And so we start off with this workload. So you can see that there's multiple linalges for multiplication, addition, and subtraction, and XOR. In the next step, what we do is we generalize all of these operations. So we get a linalge generic for all of these different operations. And then we will create a PE that is supported for each of these operations. Then we aggregate all of these PEs into one PE. And then we create the four-way array. And let's now go over some example where we actually deploy the algorithm on this simple accelerator. So we use, in this case, we use the same software as we use to create the hardware array. So the first thing we have to do is we have the array that supports all of these operations. The first operation we encounter, maybe a bit difficult to see in the back, but is the addition. So we program it, red is the addition color, obviously. So we program it to run the addition. Then the next step is to do this subtraction. So we load in the data, we program it to do the subtraction, and we send off the data back. And so we do this for all the other operations as well. And so if you look at the end, what you had to do was you load the data four times into your processing element array, you store data four times back into your memory, and you need to program the accelerator four times to choose all of these different operations. But being an MLIR, there's a few cool tricks that we can pull off. So one of these is something that people use sometimes in software as well, which is called operator fusion. And what is operator fusion? Essentially, instead of fetching data from memory multiple times, you just fetch it once and you do all of the subsequent operations on it before you send it back to memory. Obviously, that doesn't always work in each algorithm, and you might not always want to do it because it can generate like quite complex workloads. But in some cases, you might, and because we are supported anyway, we can just try it. So in this case, for example, this is the first workload. If you look more closely, you'll see that actually all of these workloads are connected. So you can fuse them together by running a few MLIR passes. And so now all of these workloads are actually contained in the same linalge generic. So all that rests us to do is to create this, go over this full linalge generic, convert it into one PE. Then we make another four-way PE array. Then we, to deploy the workload, we just program it to run this thing. And now the performance would be store data once, load data once, and program the accelerator once, which obviously helps with performance by a lot. But obviously, this leads to a trade-off. So would we create a more specific accelerator for more performance? Or maybe this one is too specific and is not future-proof enough. So currently with this PHS system, there should be a way to try these out more quick. So you might be wondering, I told you about a few secret shortcuts. How did we create this? So, I mean, how did we create this? It's not finished yet, we're still working on it, but like, how did we start working on it? The shortcut number one that we use is we use XDSL for quick prototyping. So for people who are not familiar with XDSL, XDSL is an open source MLIR and does also circuit compatible framework written in Python. So you can very quickly prototype new MLIR dialects and combinations of compiler passes. You don't need to recompile each time. You can just run it immediately and do interactive debugging without any issues. You should totally check it out. It's a really cool project. Then shortcut number two is for the PE array. The PE array alone is not enough. You need load units, you need store units, you need memory, you need a CPU. For that, we use the SNEX platform that was developed at K11 to create an NPU. So that platform is also fully open source. It uses a RISC-V core to control everything. And all of the source code for the hardware is totally open source, so you can also check that out. And we also worked on, before we started working on this programmable flow, we also worked on a flow to just compile linearizers to, let's say, handmade accelerators, which we call the SNACS MLIR software compilation toolchain, which is also written in XDSL and is also fully open source. And it's also the repository where you find the source code for this approach today. And in the future, we want to overlay functionality on parts of the PE. Currently, we're just copying PEs, but it could be possible and maybe interesting to choose different combinations of PEs in the PE array. We also want to support multiple data flows. So sometimes you need to do reductions on your data, or you need to, this was just a simple element-wise example, but you need to do multiple different things. Sometimes it makes more sense to group together certain operations and certain operations in different pools. In that case, we would generate different accelerators, which is also something we're working on. And then also support for multi-cycle data paths, for especially for floating point support. Not necessarily because we like floating point support in hardware, it's kind of a pain, but we just don't like quantization. So that's the main message there. So with that, I thank you very much for attending this talk. And here are the takeaways of this talk. If you have any questions, shoot. Thank you. Right, yeah. So the question is, what do I think about making very specific accelerators for models? I think making very specific accelerators for models is not very sensible, because it's like making an ASIC or taping out an ASIC, which is the goal of this work at some point, is super expensive. So I think just generating hardware for one specific model, I don't think it makes sense. The question I think is more interesting is, what operations do you need to support a broader range of models without giving up too much of the specific performance you gain by going for more specific circuits? But I don't know the answer to the question. That's why I'm making this tool to figure that out. Yes?
Usually the AI accelerators, the reasons they're different from like GPU or other stuff is that they need more local memory. I'm not quite sure how it usually happens with like a more basic SoC on the phone, but
So I guess the question is there a place for more SRAM on the NPU, because the NPUs usually require more SRAM? That's the question?
Yeah, usually pretty memory
hungry. I think the SNACS platform, which is where the memory comes from, is quite parameterizable. So if you have more money, you can make the chip bigger and you can add more memory. Yeah. Yes? Yeah, so how programmable is the outcoming hardware? I think currently it's just quite simple. So it just generates kind of like a functional unit and then a multiplexer around it. But depending on how you combine them together, you can like squeeze things together and load it off. And then combined with the load and store units that we have, that actually determines how much dimensions your input data can have. But those are design time parameterizable.
And with the operator,
yeah.
Can you choose to use them or not? Is there a possibility?
So that depends on which supported operations you give in. So the question was, how do you decide on the operator fusion? If you give the operators as fused operations in the supported operations, then it will create a fused accelerator of that. If you supply both of them, then it should generate both the unfused and the fused ones. It should generate an accelerator that supports both unfused and fused, and it should automatically detect that. That's kind of the goal. Yes?
Can I just pick up that first question? Can I ask it the other way around? You said you don't want specifics. If I go and design an accelerator now, I might make a convolution accelerator, but adjust it so it can be used for multiplication and addition. What's the process you do? Because you're coming off a single MLIR operator. how do you say, oh, there's these three operators, and I could bring them together, and I could have an accelerator that would actually accelerate all three? Because silicon area costs, and just having three of them is not going to fly.
Sorry, so can you repeat the question? So you were asking the inverse question, if you already have a convolutional... On getting more generic accelerators.
Yeah. So I don't want, you've got three NLI operators.
Yeah.
You can come up with three accelerators. But if they're related, you can have a single accelerator.
Yeah.
That serves them, and I couldn't see that bit of the step.
I think the question is, how do you aggregate these accelerators?
Yes.
Such that you have one accelerator and not three different accelerators for each new operation you add. I think part of that is in the way how we support the various data flows. So the load and store units of snacks are quite programmable, so they will support many different things. Currently the aggregation is quite limited, but that's currently something I'm working on to make it possible so you can aggregate more of these, even if they have different data flows, for example.
Thank you.
Thank you.